We are living in a fallen world. Our men are passing out my sermon notes. Everybody get one, please. We have enough for everybody. We are in the midst of a fallen world that desperately needs Jesus, and it needs real joy and peace. And they do not have this. They do not have contentment, fulfillment. We live in a world that that lacks integrity, honesty, truthfulness. People live without conscience. There's lying involved. And there's greed. There's people that claim to know Christ that have no Bible truth to them, no joy, no peace. I had the privilege yesterday and the day before of calling the ones that we email to for VBS. And one person I called particularly really touched me as I was telling them about our VBS and reminding them of what they had received from us. And asked the lady if she ever attend church. The lady said to me, "I'm a non-Christian." And it just kind of took me back. All I said was, "Wow, you know, if you ever want to talk to somebody, I'd love to talk with you." And I wish I was quicker to say, you know, there are some TV preachers and there are some churches that if that's what Christianity is, I want nothing to do with it. And there are people out there, folks, that do not have real joy and peace, but do not see in our Christian world of entertainment and all of the TV preachers, they don't see much there either. And we got to show them that we at Grace Bible Church, we're not perfect, but we have something to give them this week. You have something to give them. And that's real joy and peace. And we have a world that lacks it. We have a world that lacks joy and peace. And on your paper there, the first part is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. Everybody look at it. I have all the scriptures on here. I usually do not do this, but it lets me go quickly through my sermon, okay? And it gives you something to read afterwards, okay? But it says, 2 Timothy, we're in our series on 2 Timothy. I'm going to preach twice on 2 Timothy. Pastor Kyle's going to preach, and I'm going to preach again on 2 Timothy. We're going to go through the book. It's going to take us a while. But in 2 Timothy 3:13, it says, "Evil people and imposters, pretenders, will go from bad to worse, deceiving imposters," okay, "and being deceived." And we have a whole world out there that is being deceived, and they have no joy and peace, and they desperately need joy and peace from an absolute source. They need from absolute source that they can have this peace. And it's amazing there to realize that we have divinely breathed into their life. And that is so important that they need truth and they need it from God to be breathed into them. You have an absolute source of truth. It's in your hands, huh? The Word of God. We've been singing about it. And that's what the world needs. We have the answer. Jesus is the answer. The Word of God is the answer. There is so much deception out there, unfulfillment and discontentment. And we have a whole world that's just being deceived in so many areas. And no peace, no joy. You know, joy and peace is the greatest thing a Christian can have this side of heaven. If you don't have it, you know, we're just not here because we meet and we come on Sunday and we have fun and we do things. No, we have a God that has written a book that if we obey it and walk with it and believe it and claim it, it gives us what? peace and joy and contentment and fulfillment and meaning and purpose. And you realize, wow, that's what the world needs. We have what the world needs. And that is so, so important, because they're out there desperately needing real peace and joy, divinely breathed into their life from an absolute source of truth, God. Breathed. And it's so important that we catch that. Our main text this morning is 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, and it's the next text there. All Scripture. The word all mainly means the Old Testament, but once the New Testament got written, it means what? All Scripture. Scripture is divinely written books, is the writings of God, the supernatural writings born from God from heaven. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 and 21, look at it, everybody look at it. All Scripture, 2 Peter chapter 1, I hope you're with me. And we have the prophecy, more the prophetic word, more fully confirmed. Now in verses 17 to 18, it's talking about the transfiguration when Moses and Elijah appeared to the disciples on Mount Transfiguration, and they heard God speak, and they experienced on the holy mount, and they realized, wow, God's here. It says, folks, with the written scriptures, you have a more sure word of prophecy. You can read it. You can study it. You can reread it. You have it. It's written. It's solid. It's firm. It's in your hands. It says, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. It comes alive in salvation, sanctification, or glorification. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. It's not man-made. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men, God-ordained men, wrote from God as they were carried along, inspired, guided by the Holy Spirit. You have a solid rock Bible. Amen. Truth from heaven written to us on earth. And you're saying, wow, that's great. I hope you understand what you got, because it is something to realize that. To realize that God has given it to you. And it is God-breathed. I want us to think here. I might not get through the whole text here, but you have my whole sermon here. I can stop anytime. Okay. And it is God-breathed. The word inspired. In some of your translations, it's inspired. The Word of God is inspired. The word inspired means God-breathed. The word breath is the same word for spirit, wind. It's the breath of God. When you read the Bible, God breathes into you His truth. Think about it. It's not mine, it's His. In Genesis 2:7, He breathed and man became a living soul in creation. In John 20, verse 21 and 22, is it written there? You see that He breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And it is wonderful to catch that. And here comes my dear wife bringing me water so I can breathe. Thank you. Let me read something to you. This is heavy, but I want you to catch it. I hope I read it well. The breath of God. He breathed. He said the word and the worlds were created. Is that right? One text says He breathed here in Psalm 33, verse 6. One translation says, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made. The word of the Lord. And by the breath of His mouth all the host. So breath and word are the same. In the beginning was the word. Breath. The breath of God. He breathes into you. I want you to think of inhaling and exhaling. Huh? How many can hold your breath? Okay, let's all hold our breath. I want you to hold your breath. See who can hold the breath the longest, okay? When you fail to hold your breath, put your hand up and we'll see whoever. Yeah. Okay, let's all hold our breath. You can hold your breath. You know when you're holding your breath, you're not breathing. And God wants you to breathe Him in. Is that right? And breathe what? Him out. That should be your whole life. Getting it from God and breathing it out to your world, your friends. And He's the breath of life. Let me read this to you. This is heavy stuff about the breath of God. I did not write this. I found this. This is good stuff. Listen, if our root system in Christ is solid and fresh, we will absorb the riches of Christ into our inner being, and we will assimilate God into us. This inward supply of God will nourish us within and enable us to experience God and grow in the divine life. What a blessing. Keep thinking. God breathed Himself out in His Word, and we can breathe Him in to be our constant moment by moment supply of our daily life. This holy breath is wonderful and all inclusive, and when we breathe in this heavenly air, we are filled with life. When we breathe in the Lord as the holy breath, we depend on Him, we cling to Him, we take Him in, and we live because of Him. We need to come to the Word of God, not merely for knowledge, but to breathe God in, to inhale God, to absorb God into our being. When we breathe in God by exercising our spirit to pray over God's Word, we partake of God's life and nature, and thus become one with Him in His life and nature, and to express Him. This is the great mystery of godliness. God was manifest in our flesh by inhaling Him. What a joy and what a privilege we have to touch God, to taste God, to breathe God in through the breathed out Word of God. Now, I know that's heavy stuff, but when you read the Bible, is that right? God breathes His truth into you, His life into you, His love into you, His grace into you, and you take it all in. And it is beautiful to catch that. Look at a quote here. Look at a quote here. It says this: all Scripture is God-breathed. Now think. And He doesn't waste His breath. Think about that. He wants to breathe into you so that you'll have His truth that produces joy and peace. It's from God. It says, feasting on God's Word is God Himself. Put the next one up. Is God Himself breathing in you and out of you when you're devouring the Bible? God's breathing His truth into you, and it's Holy Spirit, and it's wonderful. And it is neat to catch that and to realize that's what God's all about. And this is going to be, let's keep on our text here. It says, after God breathed out His Word into you, it is profitable. Catch that right in the middle of the page, the word, and profitable. Preach the Word. Be ready in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. It's profitable. Catch this next quote. This is a great quote. Everybody, can you see it? Can you see it? It's a great quote. It says, don't merely open the Bible to read its letters, but open the Word of God to inhale God by exercising your spirit to pray over God's Word and thus breathing God in. I want you to think about that. Every time you breathe, do you think about breathing when you're breathing? The only time I think about breathing is when I'm sleeping and I've had my heart attack, and you're listening to your heart going, boom, 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 boom. You wonder if it's when it's going to stop. And when I had my heart attack, I could not breathe. It's terrible, terrible. God wants you to read His Word much, and that breathes His truth, His grace into you. And you inhale, and then you exhale when you're out in people by obedience and joy and love and caring. You understand what I'm saying? Inhale Him, exhale His truth. And every time you breathe, I want you to think about it this week, because the Word of God is the very breath of God, and it's wonderful. The next quote, let me show you this one. It's a great one too. It says, through the function of the Word of God, God's loving seekers, catch this, receive the blessing of inhaling God. I want you to think about inhaling and exhaling. Inhaling His truth from the Bible, exhaling His grace and His joy to the people around you and into your life. It is so neat. Let me just move real quickly here. And it's profitable for teaching. I'm back on my paper here. It's profitable for teaching, explaining doctrinal instructions from God's Word. It's profitable for reproof, that's convincing of truth, convicting of evil, revealing what's wrong, for correction, that's setting what's wrong right, and for training in righteousness, that's practical, personal truth, counseling. You get it from God. This is what the Bible's good for. It's God breathing in so you can breathe out His truth and His righteousness and His joy and His peace. But if you don't feast upon the Word of God, you miss the breathing of God into your life. The Bible is the breath of God, the very elements of God. When you read the Bible, God comes into you. Wow. That really moved me. I trust it's moving you, because that is where we're at, and we need it terribly. Verse 17, it says, that the man of God, that we become men of God, women of God, children of God, teenagers of God, because we're on this path, this only source of the way. And it says in Jeremiah 15, verse 16, look at your text here. It says, your words, right after that the man of God may be, that your words were found and I ate them, eating the Bible, and your words became to me a joy and a delight in my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. I have a weensy teensy Bible in my study. It's about this big. Somehow one of my dogs in my youth ate some of it, and it has bark bite marks all over it. It just reminds me, when I'm reading the Bible, I should just be devouring. Is that right? It's my sustenance. It's my food. It's my feasting. And it's makes me a man of God, that I may be that. And it makes me complete. And it makes me equipped. It matures me. It makes me strong. It trains me. It arms me. And Ephesians 1:13, it just says the Word of God is truth. And then the Word of God saves me. And I believe it, and it seals me. And I have His indwelling and His empowering is His strength. For every good work, I love that, for every good work that God gives me to inhale grace, exhale goodness, to inhale God, to exhale truth and righteousness. It is so important that we grasp that inhaling and exhaling, and let it make life just wonderful. Verse 15, on the back page. It says, verse 14, but as for you, next one up. You know, this book is written from Paul to Timothy. Now it's for Timothy. Now he's saying, and for you, Timothy, I want you to put you there. That God breathed, that inhaling and exhaling is for me, is for you. you mean, preacher, if I spend some great time reading my Bible, God's truth will come alive in me? Yes. Because it's the very breath of God. It is God Himself. Truth. And it's wonderful. And it's for us. It's for me. It's for you. I love that. It's mine if I take it. And it says, as for you, continue. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't slow down. Don't. When you're down, that's when you need to read your Bible the most. And you're sitting there going, breathe it in. Come on, feed your faith in what you have learned and have firmly believed. You stand on it. You claim it. You're assured of it. And you're just sitting there going, God, knowing from whom you have learned it. You learned it from Paul. But I like the Romans chapter 1 verse 2. It's the Holy Scriptures. It's the Bible. It's not somebody told it to you or you got it from someone or some church or some preacher. You got it from God. What does God say about? You know, we have a day where all of the events of gender is being blown apart of us. What does God say about it? What's God say about it? What's God say about adultery? What's God say about lying? What's God say? What's God say about all the activities of our day with all of the immorality going on and nobody saying, what's God doing? Well, God understands. No, if God says it's wrong, it's wrong. God said so. And we need a day where it says, that's what God says. It's His breath. It's His word. It's His truth. Verse 15, it says, and from childhood. Do children need to know about God? That's why we have VBS. Timothy knew about God from his grandmother, who was named what? Lois, and his mother, who was named Eunice, says right there. And also in you, that's why we have VBS. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have Wednesday night. That's why we have AHG. That's why we have Trail Life. That's why we have Good News Clubs. That's why we have family devotions. Is that right? All children need Jesus. All teens need Jesus. All adults need Jesus. But that from a child. I'm so glad that when I started realizing what life is all about, my mom and dad by then were Pastor and Mrs. Fisher, huh? And I grew up in a Christian home, and my mama poured truth into me. She breathed into me the breath of life. And if I didn't want it, I got it, baby. Okay. She loved it. She lived it. She taught it. That was all. And I was there. And that's all I know. And that from a child. And I have known the Holy Scriptures. I'm acquainted. I like the word acquainted. I want you to know, if you're going to be acquainted with something, you got to spend some time at it. I do believe today we don't spend enough time acquainting ourselves with the Word of God. We don't spend enough time acquainting our children with the Word of God. Do we have too many distractions today? Yes. We do. Nothing wrong with some of these games and all that. Nothing wrong with sports. But I want my kid to know God more than sports and games. So time has to be given to it more than the other. My mom was made fun of a lot because she took us boys and went Bible school doing and Good News Club doing all the time. And some people would, June, those boys are not going to know how to live in life. I think she did all right. But it was everywhere. She had Bible verses in the bathroom. I couldn't go to the bathroom without reading a Bible verse. It was everywhere. It was everywhere. It was everywhere. Is that it? To put it on her house, to put it on her door. Is that right? Put it everywhere. We need to get back to where the Word of God is what you think of first when you think of us. Huh? Now you got to live and you got to have sports and all that. Don't get me wrong there, but they were acquainted. You have been acquainted with this. You know how to rightly handle the word of truth and all these verses here that are great verses to understand the word of truth. And the world hates the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. The world hates the Bible. They think it's foolishness, folly, sci-fi, empty, helpless. And you're saying, only spiritual, no. It is the breath of God. And as a child, he was acquainted with it. It was all around him. Let me tell you, the kids here at VBS this week are going to be saturated with the Word of God. That's all they're going to be talking about. That's why we have it. A whole week given to the Bible? Yes! I challenge all the parents and I challenge all the adults. Come be with us. You'll be blessed tonight and every night. If you can possibly be here, be here. If it rains tonight, how many believe it's going to rain tonight? How many are stupid? Do you know if it rains tonight, it could be the best night. They have no other place to go. And we're not outside. Are we outside? Okay. Maybe we have to be inside, you know. God knows. This is our week to acquaint children with the Word of God. Great week. And then it says, with the sacred writings, with the scriptures, with the God-breathed truth. And I got to 2 Timothy 4, verse 13. Paul says, bring the parchment. Bring the scriptures. They're the most important. I got books. But then he says, but above all, bring the parchments. That's the written scriptures. That's what Paul wrote on. And they passed them around to all the churches. He would have Colossians and Ephesians. Bring the written scriptures. And it's very important. The inspired, God-breathed Word of God. The next little phrase, which are able. I love that phrase. It has the power to save us, take us to heaven and keep us out of hell and forgive our sins. Huh? We stake our life on it. It is able. It has power. It can do what it says. It can forgive me. It can restore me. It can make me new. It can declare me righteous. Is that right? I stand upon it. I stake my life on it. I lose my life here to gain up there. And it says, it is able to make you wise for salvation. If you believe it and study it and realize that Jesus lived, that Jesus loved, that Jesus died, that Jesus rose again, that Jesus ascended into heaven, Jesus coming back, and he saved my soul. It's wise enough to give me salvation. That from a child, that's going to be taught tonight. From a child, Holy Scriptures, it's able, it will save you. And that is so, so important because faith comes by hearing. And then lastly, it just says, through faith in Christ Jesus. I love the text here at the bottom of your page. It says, Luke chapter 24, verse 27, 32, 45. It's in the road to Emmaus, the text there where Jesus appears on Sunday night after he arose from the dead on Sunday morning. And it says, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, the Old Testament, he, Jesus, interpreted to them in all the scriptures. The Old Testament books, the things concerning himself. Verse 32, they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us, the breath of God burn within us while he talked, Jesus talked to us on the road, and while he opened to us the scriptures, that's the breath coming alive. Verse 45, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. It came alive in their hearts. It changed. Changed them, gave new life. They inhaled God and exhaled joy. You know, they started obedience and faith and wisdom coming out of their lives. But the last slide up, it says, feasting on God's Word is God Himself breathing in you and out of you. My last statement here this morning. How many of you know CPR? How many of you don't know CPR? Okay. Does anyone want to come up here and let me do CPR upon you? Now, if I might be 25, you might do it, you know. Okay, single, you know. CPR is when a person that is lacking breath, out of breath, no breath, some breath, and another person puts their mouth upon their mouth and breathes them into them the breath of life. Huh? It's their breath. It's not the person's other, the person's there is no breath. You breathe into them the breath of life and it enters their lungs and somehow it works and then it gets them breathing again. Every time you read the Bible, God does CPR on you. Think about it. Every time you read the Bible, God breathes His divinity into you, His truth into you, and He tells you, if you repent, I'll take you to heaven. And He'll give you truth that says, if you sin and confess your sins, I'll forgive you. He breathes into you the truth of God. And I want you to know, God wants to breathe into us. We have to read it to get breathed into. And we have to inhale it. And then we got to exhale it out to other people. Inhale grace. Give out joy. Every time you inhale, I want you to think about this week. Every time you exhale, I want you to think the breath of God. And when you're thinking about truth from the Bible, God's breathing into you. Do you know He can breathe into you all day long if you keep thinking about the Bible? Huh? Whatever you put your earphones on, your headsets on, if it's truth pouring into your brain, you're breathing in God all day long. If you get you some good God Bible music and put on your head, you can breathe in God all day long. Huh? You can breathe in truth. You can get you some old preachers and put on the headsets and let them preach to you. And all day long you can breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in God. Breathe out righteousness. Huh? Get it? It reminds me of a joke. I shouldn't tell it. It's a blonde joke. There's this blonde that had earphones on, and they said, "What's on?" And she says, "Well, I'm not going to tell you." And they took it off of her, and it said, "Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out." I want y'all to breathe in God and breathe out God. Huh? If you don't breathe it in, you need CPR. And you get your Bible. "Preacher, don't understand my Bible." Well, get your Bible you do understand and then read it. "Well, I don't understand it." Keep reading it. Maybe you need to read the New Testament. Maybe you read Ephesians or Colossians or something. Read it. God breath will bring you life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help each of us to know and experience God breathing into us Himself while we read His holy book. Lord, help us not just to read it, or to teach it as teach it, or to carry it and not let it be a part, or only look at it on Sundays. Lord, help us to breathe it all day long, inhaling God, exhaling grace. Lord Jesus, bring the Bible alive in each person's heart here this morning and help them to realize that our God is faithful. And His word is true. Lord, bless VBS. Every head bowed, every eye closed, where are you today? I'm certain every Christian here could say, "Preacher, I need to read my Bible more. I need to let God breathe in my life more." Is that true? Every person. We're so distracted today. There's so many lights a-flashing, and we get distracted. The Word of God is God's breath to us, life. Read dedicate yourself to reading the Word of God and letting God change you and give you joy and peace. If you're here this morning, you say, "Preacher, I want that, but I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm not sure if I die today, I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian." Can I pray for you? I will not embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just you, me, and God. "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me." Can I pray for you? Anybody? Pray for you? Just raise your hand. I'll pray for you. I will not embarrass you. If you want to talk to me afterwards, please talk. Talk to a person sitting beside you. We're all in this together. There's a brochure in almost every table. It's called Peace, Purpose, and Joy. Pick it up and read it. Come every night this week. You'll experience peace, purpose, and joy from the book that God wrote.